Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been considering the very important subject of scriptural marriage and family life. And I believe this is important for today because even in Christian marriages, we're seeing evidence of many Christian marriages failing. I want to be very fair in speaking to you folks listening to the radio. Most of you have marriages that have not failed and marriages that are not about to fail. You simply are looking for advice. You're looking for some scriptural teaching that will help you to avoid some of the pitfalls you may face in the future. And so your marriages are not in trouble. And I personally believe in prevention and the importance of prevention rather than picking up the pieces after they're broken. If we can prevent problems from ever starting, ever getting a good start, then, of course, we have succeeded in preventing broken marriages from ever occurring. Now, I want to take, again today, some of the qualities in a marriage that are very, very important. We began this in the last message, and I want to continue this today. We took a number of different qualities. I mentioned that my wife and I, before we were ever married, we were married just 4 years ago after our spouses died, and before we were ever married, we prayerfully went through this list of qualities together, just asking God that He would develop these qualities in our lives or make these true in our lives. And we pledged to each other before God that with God's help, these qualities would be there. Now today, I want to take, first of all, the idea of exclusiveness, the fact that two people belong only to each other and for each other in a marriage relationship. There's to be no one outside, no outside attraction, no one they're thinking of or any such thing. They're exclusively for each other. There is a passage of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, which is very important, and it has an important bearing on this matter of exclusiveness in a marriage relationship. It had to do with David's sin with Bathsheba. Now, David was a married man. It was a time when kings go out to war. David should have been out facing the battle with his troops. But instead, David was home, and apparently he did not feel exclusiveness as a very important quality for his own life. And so he lusted after another man's wife. He took her for himself. He had the husband killed in the battle. God blamed him, in fact, for the murder of Uriah. And David has gone down as an example of a man who could not live exclusively in a marriage relationship with his own wife. Now, what happened was, of course, to be fair, and that is that David repented of this sin. He deeply, deeply repented, and God forgave him for this sin that he committed against Uriah, having him killed, and of course against Bathsheba in taking her in an adulterous relationship. But he did live with the consequences. There were a number of consequences in his life, and I don't want to discuss these, but there were a number of consequences he had to live with. The consequence of having the child die, and then, of course, his sons turned against God and against him. There were all kinds of consequences he had to suffer because he did not really have an exclusive relationship. When you look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31, it seems to indicate this very thing, this leave and cleave policy. In other words, we leave all other relationships and we cleave only to the one to whom God has led us. And how important this is in a marriage relationship, cleaving only to that one. Another phrase which can also apply as quality is a phrase loyalty. Loyalty. And we see this also as a problem. The fact that sometimes husbands and wives are not completely loyal in their hearts to each other. And they shut out everything else and everyone else in their loyalty to each other. Now, this is not just exclusiveness. This has to do with the way they talk about each other, the way they treat each other publicly, and so forth. This matter of loyalty. And so my wife has to be able to trust me. I'm going to talk about trust in just a moment. My wife has to be able to trust me that before others, I am not portraying her in a bad way. I remember being in a church one time where the husband spoke of how terrible his wife was as a housekeeper. What a terrible thing to say in a sermon. And I was ashamed. I could see the wife down there in the front row trying to crawl under the seat as she heard her husband criticizing her publicly for her housekeeping. And to him, it was just a joke. He was just making a big joke about his wife. But I thought, you know, this was disloyalty. In other words, the wife should have been able to trust him that he was portraying her only in good ways, the good things about her. And in our marriage relationships, there are so many good things we can say about our marriage partner. We don't have to dwell on their lacks and their failures and so forth, their frailties, so to speak, as we discuss them with each other. Now, the next word is the word trust, and how important this is, that we can absolutely trust our marriage partner in every way. Once trust has been broken, then it's very difficult to ever regain again. Now, suppose a marriage partner lies to the other marriage partner. In other words, a husband, it may be a very innocent thing. A husband has been delayed for some reason from coming home to supper on time. Maybe it was his own fault, in fact. Maybe he stopped to talk to somebody else. And instead he lies to his wife. He tells her, well, you know, the traffic was so heavy and so forth, but actually it was some fault of his own, rather than simply saying, I was busy with this and I'm sorry that I'm late. The supper's cold because I'm late. He lies to his wife. It's a very simple thing. But the question would be, can she ever trust him again? The next time he's late for supper, what will he tell her? And can she trust what he says to her? Now, this is a very simple thing, but it goes even beyond this matter. For instance, I have learned in my own life, I guard myself in relationship. Now that I'm married, I guard myself in relationship with those of the opposite sex. As I don't ride in a car alone with a woman, I'm not alone in a room with her, and so forth. As I try to guard myself all the time in my relationships, because I'm a married man. And I know that my wife absolutely trusts me in this. I remember when, for years, we lived in the city of Hong Kong. And I would go up several times a year into Shanghai, China, to teach and to evangelize among university students. My wife absolutely could trust me in being gone. I could trust her in being gone. I knew that there would be nothing wrong she was doing while I was gone. Even if I was gone for a week, 2 weeks, 5 weeks, as the case might have been, there would be absolutely nothing wrong in our relationship. I could absolutely trust her, and she could trust me up there. I was up there for God's business. I was not doing anything whatsoever wrong in being up there in the city of Shanghai. And so there was an attitude of trust between us, an absolute attitude of trust between us. The next thing has to do with sacrifice, the idea of sacrifices. Now, I mentioned this in the marriage relationship before, in fact, two people are ever get married, in the courtship relationship. I mentioned this idea of being willing to accept sacrifices. But in a marriage relationship, this is also true. Is a person we're married to willing to sacrifice for the spouse, for the children, for the family, and the home as a whole? Are they willing to sacrifice? I think you see this in scripture examples. You see this, for instance, in the book of Ruth, where Ruth sacrificed for her mother-in-law. Both of their husbands were gone, and now Ruth was willing to go with her mother-in-law, even as a Midianite. She was willing to change nationalities. She was willing to worship the God of her mother-in-law. There was sacrifice involved in leaving her own home, her own country, to go with her mother-in-law. You see this again in the demands of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. And that is that when I decide to follow the Lord Jesus, it's not a simple matter to follow him. There is sacrifice involved. You see it again in verses 57 to 62 of Luke chapter 9, where sacrifice is involved. Jesus is saying to the three young men who want to come after him, can you really accept the terms that are laid down for following me? Now, in the marriage relationship, the same thing is true. We give up our own desires. We give up many times outside friendships. We give outside interests and other things for the sake of the marriage relationship. And then, of course, when we have children, the family relationship. There is sacrifice involved in being married. And then the next word, which is very important, and another quality that we need to consider, is the word quality itself. In other words, in a marriage relationship, we want a high-quality marriage. We don't want to be satisfied with less than this. This is not just something that's present in our own personal lives, but it means that we want our marriage to be of the very highest quality. We want our spiritual relationship to be of very high quality. We want our home life to be of very high quality. We want it to be pleasing to God and acceptable to God, something that would meet God's highest standards for the Christian, and in this case, the Christian home and family. And so quality is very, very important in the marriage relationship. Now you see this in Proverbs chapter 31. The wife there could have been less than she was. She could have been satisfied with less. In other words, I don't have to do all of this hard work. I don't have to labor so strenuously on behalf of my husband and my children. But she was dedicated to this. In other words, quality was very, very important to her. She was totally dedicated to this. When you look at again at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 33, you see again quality. The husband is absolutely a loving, tender-hearted husband, a kind husband. The wife is a submissive wife, happy in her relationship, in following the leadership of her husband. So you see again, the idea of quality is emphasized in this marriage relationship on the part of both husband and wife. They are dedicated to having a very high quality marriage and not satisfied with less. And this, of course, is the danger we face as we consider marriage, that we will be satisfied with less. There is that quality will not be very important to us. The next word is the word tenderness. It has to do with the way we talk to each other, the way we treat each other, with the way we regard each other. You watch a father speaking to a child, how he talks to that child. Does he talk softly and tenderly? Does he talk harshly? Does he talk loudly to that child? How does he talk to the child? It tells you something about the character of the man. When the man is only speaking in a loud, harsh voice, or he's treating the child in a very harsh manner. Now, tenderness is very, very important. And in a husband-wife relationship, I think this is especially true. The way they treat each other, the tender spirit they have, the very high regard they have for each other, the desire that in no way would they ever offend each other, or they would ever hurt each other by word or by action. They would never in any way hurt or offend. This is called tenderness. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the word tender-hearted is used there. It's talking about forgiving each other and being very, very tender-hearted toward each other. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, it speaks about the way they love each other. But going back to 4:32 is this idea of Christians in their relationship with each other having a very, very tender relationship, a caring relationship. That's the word I'm after. The word caring. I care very deeply for you. And very tenderly and very lovingly, I will take care of you. That's the husband to the wife to the husband. And so these things are also very, very important. And one other word I want to use with you, and then we must close. And this is the word heart love, heart love. In other words, from the bottom of my heart, I love my wife. From the bottom of her heart, she loves me. That should be the relationship between a husband and a wife, that it's a heart love. It's not simply saying to each other that they love each other, but deep in their hearts, that's the truest expression of their hearts. Now, it is true that some people cannot bring themselves to ever say it. They have it in their hearts, but they don't say it. The other person needs to hear it, I believe. But especially, the person needs to know that that love is really a heart love. It is a very deep love, and it comes from the very depths of their souls. They love, and they're totally committed to that one. I want to stop this message, but I want to pray again. and you will seriously consider the kind of qualities God wants in your life towards your marriage partner, and that these qualities would be present, and that God Himself, by His Spirit, would not only put these qualities in your hearts, but He would help them to become everything that God wants them to be, as He would help perfect them and bring them a maturity in your relationship with your husband or your wife. May the Lord bless you each one in that relationship.